Welcome everyone here tonight. We're going to get ready to start our Wednesday night answering questions. Questions and answer night. And I do have a question that came in that I'd like to answer, and maybe we can elaborate on it. One of the questions was, and first of all, before I even answer the question or repeat the question, I want everyone to know that I had a dramatic experience where I left my body, was taken into the universe, we'll call heaven, and I met many living creatures. I met angels. I met all kinds of stuff up there, and I was taken before I would say one who is written in the Holy Bible, names Jesus. I was brought to Jesus, who is known in the Western religion as the Son of God, and I was instructed, and I communicated with him, and then I was sent back. And one of the things that he said was, go back and tell them about my father, and that's about really the only audible voice I heard out of him. Other than that, it was kind of telepathic perception. And then I was back on this earth. He holds a great authority up there, and I will not deny the glory that he carries. I will not deny any part of who he is. In scripture it says, he who overcomes, I will grant a seat right next to me. And truly he has overcome, and there is a seat granted right next to our Heavenly Father, our Creator. With that being said, I may offend some people because of their beliefs and how they were instructed and how they were things that they were told, and they entrusted these people that told them. But I want to bring the truth out. And if you study the scriptures for yourself, you will see the truth in the scriptures. And the question was, most Western religions, when it comes to Christianity, they say that Jesus Christ took away the sins of the world, or took away your sins. And if you believe in him, you will be delivered of your sins. And I want to let you know that that is not true. If it was true, then we wouldn't be instructed in the Bible about working out our own salvation. We would have already been saved from sin. The Bible wouldn't say about being born in sin, that sin would be taken away and sin wouldn't be existing. And then it wouldn't say how to be free from sin. The scriptures wouldn't teach us how to be free from sin if Jesus died on the cross and took away our sins. Yes, and it doesn't say Jesus Christ took away our sins. That's right. And Pastor Tim is saying that it doesn't say in the Bible that Jesus Christ took away our sins. Man has put that in doctrine. When it says that Jesus died for the sins of the world. Well, I believe it's the interpretation that they got wrong. He overcame sin, so yes, he died for the sin. He died for the sins of the world. Not for my sins, not for your sins, but he died for the sins of the world. The world is full of sin, and if he overcame sin, then he died for the sins of the world. The sins don't exist in his world. He died to those sins. And you and I have the possibilities of doing the same thing, being without sin. I spoke a message, several series of messages on Sunday about sin and how to overcome sin. We were all born in sin. But it's like sin in our lives and how we were born in it. It's like your pigment skin color, you know, it's like You have DNA. How many people understand that you have DNA? Okay, well, look at your DNA as sin. It's part of your genetics. It's part of your body. It's part of who you are. It's a part of your makeup. And it exists. And the Bible's really clear about sin. When you entertain it, when you entertain sin and you conceive it by entertaining it, it brings birth to sin. And now sin is alive and living. And that's when you got to be careful, when it's alive and living. Well, how do we know that it's even sin? And I tried to break it down as simple as I could. It's all about conviction. If you willfully know and you're feeling bad about it, then it's considered sin. Because there is a spirit inside of all of us, and that spirit knocks on our door to say, enough. For example, let's say years ago, I had no problems smoking cigarettes. We'll just say that. And I'm smoking cigarettes, and all of a sudden, I get that knock on my door. Maybe you should quit. Yeah, I'm thinking about quitting. And then I continue to do it. I ignore that knock on my door. Well, now I am birthing it. And now it's going to get conceived if I keep doing it. And then all of a sudden, it becomes sin. That is the part where I believe it becomes a real bad habit and it's so hard to break. Has anyone ever had a bad habit that they wanted to break and they just can't seem to break it? I believe that that's when we ignored the conviction and it birthed into sin, and now that sin lives within us and we no longer want to do it anymore, but we keep doing it. There's a verse in the scripture that Paul says, why do I continue to do the things that I don't want to do and I keep on doing it? And he says, because of sin that dwells within me. So I look at addictions and, you know, habits and patterns that are hard to break only do because of the fact that we ignored that knock on our heart of stop doing it. And because we kept ignoring it, whether it was because of peer pressure or just self-will or whatever it might be, it conceived and brought birth into our sin nature. And when it became birthed into our sin nature, depending on how we nurtured it, it became an oak tree, a real thick root. And depending on how long we ignored it, really depends on how big the root is. And we need to take an axe to that root and start chopping it. Well, I know how to take the axe to the root. If you resist, it will flee. So we have to really, that's where the fighting part comes in at. That's why it says, he who overcomes, I will grant a seat right next to us. We all fall into this. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short of, and we all fall into sin. We all fall into it. It's something that we can't avoid. But knowing the truth begins to set us free. And so I know with myself, I'm on a path to hold up holy hands. I may not look clean on the outside, but my inside is going to be cleansed because of the fact that if I am convicted in any areas of my life, I want to begin to heed that conviction and just turn away. If we can turn away and resist, it will flee, and then that conviction is no longer knocking on my heart, and I can be without sin. Sin is always there. It's never going to leave. It's our nature. We were born in it. So for Christianity to say that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, and you know, you're without sin, that's a true lie. I can't continue even trying to pretend it's a lie, not with my conviction, because if I ignore it, then I'm going to fall into sin. Think about it. If I ignore the conviction in my heart about the truth, only because I don't want to offend people, and I just want to try to build a church or what have you, I'm not trying to build a church. I'm trying to build salvation in people's lives. I know I'll be taken care of. That's not the issue. Will you come to truth? Will you understand the truth? I don't want to see anybody deceived. And to there has been old types of doctrine and preaching messages and altar calls. Come to the altar, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you'll be without sin. You'll be forgiven and you'll be without sin. That is also another lie. You know, yes, should we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross? Yes. I mean, that's the truth and that's the history of the scriptures. And it's good for us to know that he died on the cross and the way he died on the cross, because it leads us and shows us that we can overcome sin. Sin is not so powerful that we can't overcome it. And he laid his life down unto death to overcome sin. And so one of the things is, do you believe that he died and rose from the dead? Yes, we should believe that, because then we'll also believe that our Father in heaven, our Creator, is the same God that Jesus, you know, worshiped, because he knew who the Father was, and through him we can find out who the Father is. But we also understand the miracles and the power, the signs and the wonders that come along with believing by faith and believing that God is possible to do anything. Like, I can't wait to be able to lay hands on the sick, because I know that my God will heal them. A lot of people will say, well, just pray for them. And sometimes I do. But then there's times where I don't, because I want that person to activate their faith too. I want them to come and believe that God can heal them also. And when two or more are gathered in prayer, angels are set in flight. And, you know, it's a lot easier, I would like to say, for healings to come when they manifest their faith and they believe and they actually come. How many people understand that it's so difficult to get out of a seat and come to the front of an altar in front of everybody and humble themselves, you know, and say, yes, I would like to have prayer, or yes, I have an issue, or yes, please pray for me? It's difficult because we have issues where we don't want anybody to know, or, you know, oh, everybody's watching, or this is all new to me, and not now, maybe another day. And, you know, with that type of faith, it's very hard to, you know, break into the heavens that way, because there's these lead walls, I call them, that are hindering prayers. You know, there's many verses in scripture that talks about how those that manifested their faith, you know, and the one praying, manifesting their faith, healings come. But, you know, we'll talk about that in another day. I want to talk about sin. And did Jesus Christ die for the sins of the world? In the sense, I want to say yes, but he didn't die for your sins of the world. He died for his own sins of the world. He overcame the world. He did what he had to do. He faced the nature of sin, but was without sin because of the fact that he understood conviction. He understood that he heeded the voice of conviction, and then he turned from the conviction and resisted, and it never became sin. He never allowed sin to birth in him. How many people are beginning to understand this? Good. And it's important, because I believe that there's people out there that have taken the message of Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and allowed them to ignore being free from sin in their own life. And so they're walking around ignoring the convictions, and they're ignoring repentance, meaning changing the way they're thinking, and they're expecting to receive salvation and maybe go to that place in an eternal life, when the whole time they're being deceived and they're just still living their life the way as if they never came to God. They never accepted an eternal life or a new life. I really want to talk to the ones who are sick and tired of being sick and tired. They're tired of fighting in life. When you come to salvation, when you come to my God, I want to say, my God, sin is hindering us from being free from the pressures of this world. How many of us seem to always be fighting? Every time we turn around, there's an issue or a problem. And we're good people, but we just need a breakthrough. Like, why is it so hard for me? And then we can see bad people who seem to be having it very easy. And you say to themselves, look at these scumbags, these bad people. And, you know, it seems like their life is, like, really good and glorifying. And it seems like, you know, they're always getting breakthroughs. And I'm over here trying to do the right thing. And it seems like, oh, my God, one weight on top of the other. And it's just like I can never get a break. How many of us feel that way? Okay, well, I'm kind of glad that you feel that way, because hopefully maybe you'll hear me by the end of the night. Because we came to God. Listen, those bad people probably never came to God. God never knocked on their door. God never went, hey, you see what I'm saying? And that's why in Scripture it says, don't be upset if I put rain on the wicked too. That means don't get upset if I bless the wicked. Unfortunately, and I always say this, God called you. God's knocking on your door. Unfortunately, pressure gets us to get to the point of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, and then we start looking for answers. Well, God tends to put pressure on you so that you begin to start seeking for Him, because He wants you. Unfortunately, He wants you. And I'm glad that He wants you, because I know that you can be a testimony for Him once you know the truth and you get set free from your burdens and your pressures, because then you're going to have a testimony, and those testimonies are going to glorify Him and get His name out. See, you've been entrusted. God knocked on your door because He knows that you'll talk about Him. You'll open your mouth and say, look what God did for me, you know? You're worthy. I want to say that you're worthy. And because that's the only answer I got for me. I say, God, why'd you knock on my door? He says, because you're fool enough to glorify my name. You're willing to lay your life down despite whatever is in front of you to glorify my name. And so you're worthy. And that's why I picked you. And I said, oh, so you're picking all the fools, huh? So if you want to look at yourself, you can look at yourself as one of those fools in that heavenly place, because you're going to open up your mouth and you won't be able to stop it. And you'll be like, look what God did for me. When you get delivered, when you get healed, when you get set free. So it's important to hear what I have to say, so that when God knocks on your door and all these burdens are on you, it's only because you entered into sin. It's obvious that you have sin in your life. It's not a bad thing. We all have it, okay? What's bad is we keep it, okay? Grace delivers us real easy, and we just have to get free from it. Now, you might say, well, I'm a good guy, I'm a good person, I do all the things, I do all the right things, you know, and I can't see how I have sin in my life. What am I doing? I'm not doing this, I'm not fornicating, I'm not cheating, I'm not lying, I'm not, you're not doing the basics. And so you look at yourself as if you're clean. And I'm going to say, yes, you have every right to feel that way, but do you have unforgiveness in your heart? Is there people that you're looking at and you're annoyed with and you're holding trespasses against them? You know, there's areas that we have to be set free from. Do you have anger, resentment, hatred? Has someone done you wrong and you're holding it? You know, these are the ones that creep up on us. These are the ones, not the obvious. No, you didn't murder anybody, but that doesn't make you good, okay? No, you didn't fornicate, that doesn't make you good. Okay, it's the little ones that we didn't think really made a difference, because I'm gonna be honest with you, if somebody hit me or slapped me in the face, I'm gonna be mad, okay? I'm gonna be really mad. If someone stole something from me or hurt me, and hurt my heart and deceived me, I'm gonna be mad, okay? You have every right to go through that motion where we fall into sin and it becomes an oak tree, and this is what God doesn't like when he knocks on your door, is we have to come to forgiveness. We have to let these things go. How many of us just hear, and let's be honest, have issues with others that tend to haunt us? Okay. Well, God's knocking on your door, and it's not by accident that you're listening to this message, because God wants to bring these blessings in your life. We have walls in front of us. Okay? And let's say this wall is a situation that I'm dealing with, and I don't want to deal with it. I want it to go away so that I can move on. Okay, quickly, think about it. How many walls you got? 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 You see what I'm saying? I got a few walls. Now we got to break through the walls. I know the anointing that breaks the yokes. I know the answer that breaks through these walls. And 99.9% of it is because we're harboring unforgiveness somewhere. These issues that hurt us, those things that you're not letting go, they're walls. And they're not allowing you to be free. They're causing you to be burdened. They're causing you to be upset. And now that's another thing we got to fight. See, you got to look at the root. The root causes a tree, and then the tree causes branches, and then the branches cause leaves. And I look at all this stuff. The root brings branches, and then the branches bring leaves. So you might have like unforgiveness for someone, and you're harboring that unforgiveness. And then all of a sudden, you got a branch that comes out of your root. And now you're annoyed over this. Now you have an annoyance issue. And then that branch springs leaves. And now you have like other issues out of that one root. How many people are following on this one? So that's why it's so important to understand the truth, so that we can be free from these, from sin and death. And why I say sin and death is because when we harbor this unforgiveness, or we harbor the trespasses of others, it becomes a root. And when it comes to a thick root, it leads to death. And it's almost like you never get breakthroughs. Never. And I want to see breakthroughs in your life. So think about it. How many, you might not even realize how much bitterness lays in your heart. how angry you are. It might even be just reflected within yourself. How angry are you towards yourself? How upset are you within yourself? That in itself can cause a big bitter root. That in itself could cause major issues. We have to learn how to accept who we are, stop being so concerned about our condition and, you know, the quality and everything else, and begin to appreciate and like what we are and who we are. And, you know, I hope and pray that we are delivered in these areas, because when someone doesn't like themselves, that could be a really big root. And that root can literally lead to death and can literally destroy our whole entire future. And that's one that's so simple to ignore, because we're so quickly to look out. Well, who is it? Who is it that I didn't forgive? Who is it that I didn't forgive? You never really looked at yourself. You never really... How many of us just tend to complain about our situations? Yeah. I mean, I know I gotta stop complaining. I either gotta accept it or do something about it. It's just the way it is. But getting back to Jesus, I respect what he has done, for me, because of how he handled himself through scriptures. I'm going to tell you right now, if you read the scriptures, he didn't teach any of us anything, because everything that he taught was in parables, and it was like, you know, I barely understand any of his sermons. But you can see one thing that he did. He had a love for our Father in heaven, our Creator, and he says, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. You know, he was tapped into his heart, and he understood the life that was within him and how he felt. Most of us, because of being so buried, we don't even know what our feelings are. We don't even know what we feel. We don't even know what we really want to say. We really don't know anything, and we're lost. And that's what it means to be lost. And we live life up in our head. I know a few people that live up in their head so much that they hear voices and they believe these voices, and it's like, well, you said this, and I'm like, no, I didn't. I didn't even say anything like that. And it's like, where did you get that at? You know, the voices sound like my voice now. Oh my God. But, you know, and they have a world in their head, and those individuals really truly are in a place of sickness, and my heart cries out for those individuals, and I hope and pray that they be delivered and set free. Until they can cast down the imaginations and come into the spirit within them. I don't know if the salvation is very hard to come by. So those that have feelings still have hope. Have passions, tend to just say what they say, and they get themselves in trouble. Has anybody ever done that? Didn't think about what they were going to say. They just said it because that's how they felt, and they said it. Well, I'm going to say praise God for that, because that's really the spirit within you that tends to manifest itself, so there's a power still alive in you. You're not dead. You know, people that, you know, analyze and think about what they're going to say, and I'm not saying good things. I'm saying, when they say bad things, that's a different story. I'm saying good things. You really care, and you speak out of care, and you speak out of love. That's a different story. That's when you're alive. When you speak mean things without watching what you're saying, you know, that's not good. That comes out of here, and it's a whole different ball game. But I want people to, those that have been under the covering of ministers who exalt Jesus Christ as a personal savior in the sense that he died for your sins, I really hope and pray that you hear me, and get set free from that deception so that you can really look at your own life and not just say, well, Jesus died for my sins, and because I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I have eternal life. I have salvation. So I can just continue to live my life, go to church, try to do the right things, and, you know, and keep living my life the way it is without any real true repentance. I want to stop you. You know, I don't want you to keep going down the rabbit trail, and then later when you do leave this earth, you know, you find out the truth and then it's too late. There's a reason why you're hearing my voice. There's a reason why, whether you logged on or somebody gave you the tape or you're here today or whatever, there's a reason why you're hearing my voice. And I hope and pray that it doesn't end here and you can simply keep logging on, trying to find answers, log on to our website, keep looking for answers. Come here if you have to. Sit down with me, contact me, and I'll go through everything, how we are responsible for our own sins, and we need to overcome our own sins. We need to overcome the world. That's the sins of the world. And when we overcome the world, we overcome the sin, then we can be able to be granted a seat right next to Him. It's important to hear what I'm saying. And it's simple. It's just a matter of understanding conviction and being open for conviction. Let us get together and just really unite in this truth so that we can work out our own salvation, especially with fear and trembling. If you're like me and you want breakthroughs, then let's get on our knees. Let's seek God and say, Lord, show me what I have as far as unforgiveness and trespasses in my life. Whether it's, is it me? Am I not happy about who I am? What are the complaints that tend to rise up in my heart? What am I complaining about? And 90% your complaints will lead to your transgressions. 90% it will lead you to your unforgiveness. And these are good keys that I'm giving you so that you can find out where you lack in your area, where you can take the axe and start chopping at these roots and start, you know, knocking these trees so that you can get these breakthroughs. I told some individuals, and, you know, God moved mightily in their life, delivered these people from many, many things. I watched tremendous amount of healings take care and all this other stuff. And they keep coming to me for, you know, healings and spiritual blessings and stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'll tap into heaven for you. But, you know, you got to start now working out your own salvation. You know, I'm not your deliverer. I'll go to the Father and He'll reveal Himself to you by setting you free in some areas of your life so that you can see Him. But now you got to start tilling out your own garden. You got to start working out your own salvation. You know, you got to start knocking down your own walls. We have to take responsibility for our own life. There's a time and a place where we need to take responsibility. And Jesus, listen, He's up there and He's happy where He's at. And He sent me down to tell them about the Father and how it's important for you to work out your own salvation. Don't lean on me because of the fact that, you know, I did it for my own sins. You know, I just showed you the way. Now you got to pick up your cross and do it for yourself. Now it's time to carry your own cross, pick it up, and die to it. How many people understand where I'm going? Amen. So I want to continue to pray for you. Don't, you know, stop sending in your emails and stop, you know, letting me know, you know, what's going on in your life. I want to continue to pray. I want to continue to lay hands on the sick and see them recover and all that. But I also want, now that we are starting to know the truth, now that we are starting to understand the truth, there's a time where we have to start working out our own salvation and begin to start interceding for ourselves, you know. And you can go cry to the pillow God, but like I said, I want you to know my God. So you can't say to me, well, I have been praying for my issue. I've been crying on the pillow, and I've been, you know, crying out for God to get me my issue resolved. You know, where's my breakthrough? But listen, God is not going to stretch down an ear to hear you if you have a lead wall in front of you. How many people understand what I'm saying? You know, if you're in a lead box, you can scream all day long, and your voice is not going to get through that lead. We got to break through the sin. We got to show him that we love him and we're seeking him with all our heart, soul, and mind, and show him the fruit of casting down and taking an axe to the sin to say, listen, I am chopping. Now, you know, help me here. And I will continue to chop, chop, chop as you begin to reveal yourself. And I hope I was able to touch you in a good place in your heart. I hope maybe I planted something inside of you, those that are here and those that are listening. Because how many of us have these things that we want, blessings, that just seem to not get a breakthrough? Probably every one of us. Every one of us. And how long have we been asking for this breakthrough? How long have we been desiring for this breakthrough? You see? So let us now do some work so that we can show God that we're willing to work for his glory and be able to come to that place. You know, I don't know any God that will allow us to live the life that we're living in the world, and then just because we asked, we get everything we want. You know, just take an earthly father. If you're not a really good girl or a really good boy, you know, your earthly father or earthly mother is going to be looking at you like, well, you know, have you really earned it? I mean, what have you done to really earn that bike or that new car or that house or what have you, you know, or that spouse or just maybe an easier life? what have you, you know, I mean, you know, and then take it this way. How about when you were really good and you were just being good and your earthly father or earthly mother or your guardian or whatever came up to you and just tend to buy you something out of the blue? Like just blessed you. And you were like turned around and was like, oh, but I didn't even ask. I didn't even deserve it. I mean, why? Oh, because you know what? I love you. You've just been so good and obedient and you just been like really sparkling on my heart, and I just wanted to do it. How many people understand that? Good. Because these earthly examples are just like our heavenly examples. And I love when God brings blessings and I didn't really ask for them. Man, that's what I really love. I turn around and I got a blessing and I'm like, wow, thanks God. What did I do to deserve it? You know what? I'm not even going to ask. I'm just going to be grateful. Thank you. And this is really cool. You lightened my day. This is really nice. You know? So let's live our spiritual life the same way we would expect our earthly life to go. You know? And I mean, I'm sure if you were good and everything, you'd be looking at your, you know, those that had an authority to bless you, you'd be looking at them like, hey, how come you ain't blessing me? You know, like, hello. But, you know, let us look at our spiritual life as our earthly life, because the two are so close together. And we need, okay, amen. I'm going to end now. I got about five minutes left. I got Jim up there who keeps me online, on track. And I'm going to call Pastor Tim up, and he's just going to close for us, share a little bit, and close for us. Amen? Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Pastor Tim.
Thank you. You know, I'm so glad that Pastor brought this topic up tonight, that somebody in the website asked about, you know, Christ dying on the cross for our sins. I was actually meditating on that scripture verse last week, all week, and God was revealing to me some truth about Christ dying on the cross for our sins, that, you know, Christ is a divine nature. It's a spirit. And Jesus overcame the sin nature. He totally resisted it, and it even backs it up in scripture where he was led into the desert and was tempted by the devil three times, and he resisted that sin nature, because the sin nature is like your reasoning, your doubts, your fears, all that stuff that comes up is a sin nature, and he overcame that, and that's how he took on Christ, which is a divine nature. And it was by God's grace, which is a revelation knowledge that came to him through faith, that he took on this Christ nature. So what's awesome about it is when it says that Christ died on the cross for our sins, Christ in itself, the people actually put the divine nature of Christ on the cross. God used the sin nature of those people to put him on the cross. And what I mean by that is the sin nature was judgment. It was, you know, like if you actually see somebody doing something and you judge them, that's a sin nature. That's your sin nature judging them based on a lack of knowledge by yourself. You know, and when Jesus was the Christ, he actually took on that nature because he was following the desires and the hopes in his heart that led to him become sinless. He was sinless in God's eyes. He was righteous in God's eyes. So the people, I don't know if it was the Hebrew people that were the Pharisees, Sadducees, and everything, they judged him based on that. And if they're the ones that put him on the cross. So that's why I believe people misinterpreted Christ dying on the cross for our sins. Everybody thinks it's for the past, present, and the future. Had nothing to do with that. It was for the present time that he put to death his own sin, and that it was actually putting to death the sin of the people that judged him based on his actions of his being led by his own heart. So what's interesting too is this. You ever notice when a lie starts, another lie starts, and then another lie starts? Well, Pastor was speaking about how, you know, with working out our own salvation, it overcomes that lie that says, once saved, always saved. There's a saying in the church, in the religious church, that, hey, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're saved. So your once saved is always saved. Totally wrong, because it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So it's a constant working of looking within yourself, finding out if your heart's troubled, if you're not following a conviction, there's a strong conviction in your heart, you're ignoring it. That's the sin nature that he's talking about overcoming constantly, where he's saying, work out your salvation. Well, in the religious church, they're saying, you don't have to do that because you accepted Jesus as your Savior. So go on living your life the way you want to live it, and you're fine. Well, that's an error. That's actually hypocrisy, and that's actually, it's called heresy. It's not a truth that we're supposed to follow, because if it was, it would be scripture. It would be backed up by scripture. I've looked in the scriptures constantly saying, all right, well, it says, where is once saved, always saved? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that in the scriptures anywhere, once saved, always saved. That was created from a lie that spawned off of accepting Jesus as your Savior. once, you know, accept them once and then you're fine. It's not the truth. And there's a lot of people out there, like Pastor's saying, is they're living this lie, and what it does is it puts a righteous garment on you. You start to get this pious attitude that, you know what, I'm good and everybody else is wrong, or you're bad, or, you know, you're, because I'm a Christian, I accepted Jesus, so I'm fine, you know. And they're like, well, I just plead the blood every day and I'm fine, there's nothing wrong with me because I'm without sin. Totally far from the truth. God's, that's why God says work out your salvation. There's a sin nature that lurks within each and every person. And it's constantly knocking on our door. And what Pastor said earlier is if you entertain that sin, it becomes part of you. You actually take on that sin nature. If you entertain it and give into that sin nature, you become sinful. You become sin. That's why we need to constantly look within our heart, see what that conviction's saying every single day. When I wake up, I'm always trying to be led by my heart. I'm saying, okay, God, what do I do today? Where's my conviction at? Is my conviction saying do this or do that? Because through the conviction, that strong urgency to do something will not leave. It constantly gets stronger and stronger until you finally have to do it.
Yeah, you know that lie about I'll just plead the blood of Jesus and all this other stuff?
Yep.
It begins to exalt Jesus as God, and now they're Amen.
Right, and we're supposed to worship the Father. Even the Apostle Paul himself said, I bow my knee to the Father of Jesus Christ.
Right.
He said it's the Father of Jesus Christ is who we're supposed to worship. Okay, Pastor was basically saying, based off that lie that was directed about once saved, always saved, and Jesus died for my sins, is all of a sudden you start exalting Jesus in everything, and it takes the focus off of the Father. You no longer worship the Father. You're worshiping Jesus as God. That's a lie in itself, because Jesus always said, well, people start praying to Jesus. They start bowing down to Jesus. They start speaking things in Jesus' name all the time, whereas Jesus said, look, don't call me good. The only person that's good is my Father in heaven. And he even said, you know, don't worship me, worship the Father, because it's in Revelations. If you read Revelations 19, we spoke this a couple weeks ago, that it was talking about the angel, which the angel was Christ, which was Jesus Christ then in that scripture. And he says, don't bow down to me, worship my Father only. It's scriptural. So with that being said, the whole moral of the whole story tonight is, start looking within yourself. Start working out your salvation. Start taking it to heart, because you know what? Many people are leaving this world under that false doctrine that they were saved because they accepted Jesus. And it's basically a snare, because, listen, principalities, powers, darknesses, they want to trip us up. They don't want us to come to a revelation and a relationship with God. They don't want it. They don't want you to know the Father. They want you to know a lie and hypocrisy so that you lose your salvation, you know, here on earth and also in eternal life.
You know what else is happening? People are walking away from the church because of the hypocrisy. No one's really showing true repentance, because people see that they're harboring unforgiveness and they're harboring anger, and they're not really going to these areas. Not only that, but they're not able to have God manifesting miracles, signs, and wonders. They're living in lead boxes. And so Amen. They're not seeing God. So not only are they not seeing God through signs, wonders, and miracles, but they're also seeing the hypocrisy in the church, too.
Pastor brought up a good point. The people out there are leaving the churches because they're seeing hypocrisy. They're not seeing miracle signs and wonders anymore of the true living God. They're seeing people that are still living with a lot of anger issues. They're living with full of lie. They're living in turmoil. They're always thinking once saved, always saved, because that's the way they've been taught from generation to generation. And it's kind of deceiving the people out there, and people are starting to sense there's something wrong. I mean, we were talking about it last week in church, that people out there are starting to sense that there's something wrong within the church, because if I'm saved, then why am I acting the way I'm acting? Why do I feel the way that I feel? Why is there not a change where I'm living in peace, joy, and righteousness? Because that's total salvation right there. That's the kingdom of God. Where is the miracles on that? Exactly. So that's why I believe a lot of people are starting to leave the church, and they're questioning, okay, God, I still believe in you, but what's this other stuff? What's going on in the church? So, you know, tonight is a great, great analogy of what's going on in life right now, in the church, inside of what's going on with all of us. There's an eternal battle. It's an eternal battle between faith, and I also say doubt. There's a conflict. And the faith is being able to trust God and know that God is working on your behalf and he's giving you salvation and you got to work at it and trust him in it, versus the doubt. Like, you ever imagine like leaving a job? In your heart, there's a conviction that says, you know what? I got to leave this job. I know that I have to leave it. But your mind's saying, you know what? Do I really want to leave this job? Because you know what? Am I going to have enough money to survive without a job for a while? But your heart is saying, I have to leave this job. You know, and that's where faith comes against the doubt. There's doubt and fear. That's the sin nature that's coming against God. Because God's speaking to your heart and his voice is speaking to your heart. I'm getting a cue that I have to end tonight. But you know what? I just want to thank everybody that's been here tonight, that's been hearing this word. You know, God loves you so much that he brought you out here tonight, because he wants us all to get it. He wants us all to repent and just change the way we've been thinking. It's not a condemning message. It's just to get us to change and see the truth that, you know what? We need to work out our salvation, and God will continue to raise us up in his power to get us to walk in the right way instead of the way we've been walking. Because, look, all of that I can say, we've all been deceived. We've all been deceived somewhere down the road by religion. You know, religion's been bad. You know, in the aspect, it's been tripping people up, believing that they've been saved, when in reality, they weren't. So that's why he's called this ministry at this time in this season, is to start getting people to realize what the real truth is so that we can get on the right path and have a relationship with God. Amen? Amen. So we want to thank everybody that logged on tonight. You can log into www.glorytothenations.org. That's where all of our messages are from Wednesday nights and Sundays. We also want to welcome you to come out on Sunday, this coming weekend. If you come out at 10 o'clock, we have a worship service that lasts for about an hour. And then at 11 o'clock, we actually have the sermon, and we also have ministry afterwards. So if you don't know how to get here, look us up on our website. There's directions. There's an address on there. We'd love to have you out, because you can listen to the messages on there, but until you get here and you experience the presence of God, it's not the same. I mean, people are changed in his presence. Amen. So have a great night. We'll see you again, hopefully, this Sunday.